tracks, Shame, Shame, Shame. Brand new, new vocal overdubs. Mix sounds great. Still can hit those notes, right? So don't go anywhere, because coming up in just a few minutes, we got Kenny Wayne Shepherd. I'm your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lehrer. You're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Streaming online at WRCT.org. Tonight, we've got blues guitar legend, and I can say that because he really is, joining us on the radio tonight, celebrating 30 years of the debut of the album Ledbetter Heights. Kenny, welcome back to Courts in Session.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, I can't believe, you know, I remember when the album came out and Deja Voodoo was all over the radio and everyone was raving about this kid who was blowing it up. You know, 30 years later, the album's gone platinum. It's a must-have for everybody's record collection. You're coming to the Palace Theater April 19th and you're playing the whole album. Tell us your thoughts 30 years later with this special piece of music you created.
Well, you know, we're really excited about this. I mean, celebrating 30 years of doing anything is a big deal, right? And especially for us, this album was a big deal because this was ground zero for me. This was the introduction of my music and myself and my band to the world. And it's been a great experience going back and revisiting this material. We went into the studio and recorded a brand new version of the Ledbetter Heights album that we're going to release in conjunction with this tour. So we have an updated version of the album that we're going to be putting out. And some of the songs have slightly different treatments to them. One of the biggest differences is Noah Hunt on lead vocals. On the first album, we had Corey Sterling on lead vocals in the band. And then by the time we went to do the second album, Corey and I, we went our separate ways, and then that's when we found Noah. And historically, a lot of people who have been fans of Noah have often wondered what the Ledbetter Heights album might sound like if he would have been in the band at that time. So now they're going to get to hear that. So we're going to release that record, and going back and re-recording a lot of this brought back a lot of memories, you know, and put me back in that space and that time. And it's just an incredible moment in my life, you know, where I had no idea what to expect. I was 17 years old recording this album at the end of my senior year in high school and handing it over when we were finished and releasing it to the world, and just not knowing what to expect. And thankfully the audience, the people reacted to it. And this was like the foundation. This was the beginning of this foundation of our fan base that's now supported me going on 30 years worth of making records and doing live shows. And so it really puts things in a great perspective, and it's just a reminder how fortunate we are and how much we have to be grateful for.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm struck by, you know, I was a kid at 17. I thought I knew everything. I knew nothing. What was it like 17 showcasing your skills and then seeing it catch on fire and dealing with all the adult responsibilities that came along with that back in when the album came out in 95?
Well, it was, you know, it was just an exciting moment where I was like, man, I'm doing what I love to do, which is play guitar, and people are showing up to hear me do it. And I'm getting paid to do it, you know. And in the beginning, what, you know, we weren't raking in the dough, but it didn't matter. It was just like I was living the dream. And thankfully, you know, my dad, he was a disc jockey and program director and general manager of radio stations in my hometown, which is why I was exposed to so much music growing up. But he quit his job and to help me run my business and to run my career. So it was great having him involved because he handled a lot of that stuff in the early days when I was just, you know, young and inexperienced and really more focused on playing music than the business side of things.
So you go from releasing this amazing album, and you're going to play it in its entirety April 19th at the Palace Theater, correct?
Yeah, for the first time, even back when the record first came out, we never played the whole album in concert. So yeah, we're going to play the whole record, every song on the album, and then we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to do a whole other set of music from, you know, different records that we put out over the years. So it'll be a full experience for the fans.
Oh, that is terrific. And the new album is going to be a re-recording of the entire album?
It is, yeah. We did the whole record from start to finish. Some songs have slightly different treatment. Some of them, you know, maybe has a different ending, or, you know, maybe we slowed the tempo down a bit or used some different instrumentation. But we didn't alienate the sound of the original record, because that's what the fans have known and come to love. But we had a little bit of fun with the new version of it. And, you know, this is what's cool to me about all of this is that, you know, when I started making music, my goal was to make timeless music. I wasn't chasing a trend. I wasn't trying to be a pop star. I wanted to make music that hopefully people would be listening to for decades. And it's just a testament, you know, as like mission accomplished, because this album still holds up today. When you listen to this and you come see us play it in concert, these songs still sound good today. And that's all I ever really wanted to do, was to make music that people could enjoy for years to come.
And doing it in a genre that needs people to keep the genre alive. Your new album out currently, Young Fashioned Ways, with Bobby Rush. And I'm a big Bobby Rush fan. 91 years old, am I right?
Yeah, and supposedly he'll be, I think he's going to be 92 years old in November, so... just an incredible performer. He's part of what I like to refer to as the originator generation. You know, he's been around so long, he helped shape and mold the sound of blues music that inspired myself and so many other people to pick up our instruments and do what we do. And so it was a real honor to be able to make that record with him and do this tour this year with him.
Well, that record is fantastic. Why don't we play a track from it right now? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a love song. This is Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Bobby Rush. G-string and a toothbrush. WRCT 88.3 FM.
You know, I was in a casino gambling one night, and I won some money. I said, babe, I'm coming home in a couple of minutes, and we're going someplace. She said, well, what are we going to spend? She didn't know I had won a jackpot. I didn't tell her until I walked in the house. She said, what time do you come home? I said, 4:30. She says, 4 o'clock now. I said, I know. I'll be there in 30 minutes. When I walked in the house, she not knowing I had enough money, I said, baby, I've been working all a break. We're going somewhere, little girl, so we can play. I'm going somewhere, little girl, I'm gonna take you out in the dark. We're gonna have some fun. Fun out in the park. Where I'm going, you don't have to pack too much. I know a little place down Highway 51. You and I can go down there, have a whole lot of fun. We can sit in the car, listen to the radio, crawl in the back seat, little girl, let your feet hang out the door.
was new from Kenny Wayne Shepherd with Bobby Rush from the album Young Fashion Ways, G-String and a Toothbrush. Kenny Wayne Shepherd is coming to the Palace Theater April 19th, celebrating the 30th anniversary of his Ledbetter Heights album. Came out in 95, went platinum. We've got Kenny on the radio with us tonight. Brother, just terrific. I'm going to be at the show. So many of our listeners are as well. And, you know, you have toured with some of the biggest names in the business. Van Halen, Aerosmith, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Rolling Stones. How did those different artists treat you in light of you playing the music that many of them grew up on and base their music today on?
Well, most of these people very encouraging. And I think, you know, it's the same thing I'm experiencing now when I see these young kids coming up. And it reminds me of when I was younger. And so I'm sure that I was that for some of those artists, where they saw some of themselves in me. And, you know, because they all love blues music as well. And it was just, you know, I've gotten to play with so many of the greats and do so many incredible things in my life that it's kind of mind-boggling, to be honest with you. Like, when you look back and you go down the list of all these incredible legendary musicians that I've played with and toured with and collaborated with. And, you know, it's just a pretty crazy, you know. I was just this kid from Shreveport, Louisiana, playing guitar in my living room at home with some headphones on, and, you know, here we are. So it's mind-boggling.
Well, with playing with those artists, did seeing them play live have a different effect on you and your style and influences than just listening to them on the record?
Well, I think what it did for me is I got to watch them perform, and I got to watch them doing what they had spent years and years mastering, you know, which is their instruments and entertaining the people, and watching these guys put on, like, you know, top tier level performances and what that entails. And so I learned a lot, you know, standing on the sidelines and watching people like that.
So as you're on tour now, and we're celebrating 30 years of Ledbetter Heights, and we got the new re-recorded album in the hopper, which, putting you on the hot seat, I want to track early, brother, so we can play it here in Pittsburgh. But the you know, you're carrying the torch for so many blues artists, and you're carrying the torch for so many younger musicians that love rock and roll and who've been raised on blues. What do you do when you see some of these guys coming up when you're on tour across the country and you see some of this special talent? What's your advice to some of those people?
Well, the main thing that I have to say is well, in today's world, it's so different. Like, everybody's obsessed with, like, streaming numbers and social media follower counts. You know, it's like, how many people are following me and how many people are listening? You know, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, I remember, like, I picked up guitar and I put in the hours and hours and hours of work learning how to play guitar, because I love to play music, and it made me feel good. It satisfied my soul. So, like, I didn't pick up a guitar going, I wonder how much money I can make from this, or, like, I wonder how many awards I can win with this. You know, that was not even part of the equation. All that stuff came after the fact. But, like, I played music because I love to play it. And so you can't lose sight of that, because if you get too caught up in all these measures of success, it takes the joy out of it. And it's supposed to be a joyful thing. It's supposed to be fun. That's why they call it playing, you know what I mean? And so just, like, really just focus on playing the music you feel inspired to play. Don't let anybody talk you into something you don't feel comfortable doing. And let the chips fall where they may, you know. But I saw one guy, I don't remember who it was, but he was, I think his band was like a hair band back in the day, and he was doing an interview online, and the guy asked him, like, you know, how do you feel about the fact that you never became a consistent arena band, you know, touring arenas and stuff? And the guy says, I've been able to support my family playing music for the past 40 years. Anytime you can play music and pay your bills from playing music, you've already succeeded. Like, you've won. And so I like that perspective, you know.
Well, you know, your plane has brought a lot of people a lot of joy, and that is absolutely terrific. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Kenny Wayne Shepherd coming to the Palace Theater Sunday night, April 19th. He's going to be playing the entire Ledbetter Heights album and then a second set of songs from throughout his career. So, Kenny, going to put you on the hot seat. Second time in courts in session. Last time you were on, ask you to tell our listeners a couple tracks that were important to you that you listened to in your downtime. I think just something a little different. Throw a little curveball. 30 years later, give us two Kenny Wayne Shepherd deep tracks that have always been real special to you, and tell us why.
Well, if you think about that, Eric, so I don't know. It's going to be a
live radio, brother.
Well, I'm going to say, look, here's the deal. Since we're focusing on Ledbetter Heights, and, you know, this is as deep as my catalog goes, is 30 right. years back.
Right.
And the two songs, I mean, Deja Voodoo is the most significant to me because that was the first single and that song is what put me on the map and it shot to number one on the rock charts. It basically said, here I am. And that created the momentum that propelled us forward. And I think it's a great song, you know? So that one is very significant. The other one would be Born with a Broken Heart, because that is a song that I wrote in tribute to my heroes, my musical heroes, many of which were gone way too soon, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan and so forth and so on. And it was like that whole song is just one big tribute to all people like that, that, you know, set the world on fire in their own way, were taken when they were very young, but left this lasting impact that continues to inspire people to this day.
That is terrific. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, ladies and gentlemen, April 19th at the Palace Theater. It's the place to be. My friend, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to look forward to seeing you in April and looking forward to the new album. Have a great night.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Records joins you in supporting WRCT. Attic Records, located in Millvale, is open 7 days a week, providing new and used records and CDs. From metal to reggae, hip-hop to doo-wop, and all stops in between. Attic Records has the hottest new releases and all the music you want. Family owned and operated, Attic Records pays for quality used records and CDs. You can visit Attic Records today or call them at 412-821-8484 and get the music you need.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. He sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself.
For many military veteran caregivers, their caregiving journey starts earlier in life and lasts longer. Visit AARP.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, see, you finally got a new helmet.
I did. Bought it cheap online. Follow me. We'll turn off here.
I'm right behind you.
Watch the cars. They can be crazy.
Patty! No! Are you okay? Somebody do something!
Was this young man hit by a car?
Yes, and his helmet is smashed.
It's a brand new helmet.
It's probably a fake.
Fakes cause real harm. You're smart. Buy smart. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Applebee's, it's so good. Applebee's. Applebee's, it's so good. Applebee's. Everybody in the band agrees we like Applebee's.
Take 20 to see what I can over here and listen. Hey, just go right ahead, little girl. Oh, you got my undivided attention. Ah, but I've been listening. What you tell me when you
the crying at Georgia Satellites going back to 1991. Tough album to find on vinyl. Album was called Land of Salvation and Sin. And boy, is that good stuff. I'm your rocking attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. You're listening to Courts in Session, heard here every Thursday night from 8 to 10:30. Rock and roll, country, and soul is what we do. And we play your requests. 412-268-9728 is the number. So, I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. A stock for social change that's not about making money. It's called Better Futures from UNCF. When you invest in Better Futures, it helps students go to college. It's the opportunity for America to have a stake in its kids' education. You can visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Message from UNCF and WRCT 88.3 FM. Amazed where in my shopping for music, some of the crazy places that I find great albums. This next track is a solo track from Jimmy Messina. Of course, Jimmy Messina from Loggins Messina, Poco. Solo album came out in the early 90s. Called Watching the River Run. This is great. This is Follow Your Dreams.
Around comes around. To Eric Jackson Lurie on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. Enjoy.